We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
It's Ryan Recker, Overnight America, and time for...
Tell me something good.
All right, so you got something good you'd like to share with us here at KMOX? Doesn't matter where it happened. Connecting you, really, border to border. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. A couple different ways you can reach the show. You can even text in using that first number there. I got a couple of good stories to share with you. First one was from, I think the KMOV posted this one. So with all of the workers that were out, the snow workers, just yesterday, well, technically 2 days ago now since we're past midnight, but who's counting? It still feels like yesterday, Saturday. Sugar Fire was thanking MoDOT and IDOT employees for offering what was the Sandwich Relief Saturday, which is wet brisket tacos with a pickled red onion, cilantro, salsa, and jalapenos to warm you up. Plus a side free to the snow crew that's out there trying to clear out the roads. Now, when you are a rider, man, it's you're out there and you're nonstop. You're in demand with the amount of snow that's on there. There's all these different neighborhoods that need the help. There's all these different side roads that need the help. Depending on where you're at, you don't want to wait a day and a half before your road gets plowed, right? You know, you want to be able to have access out. One of the worst things is the feeling that you can't get out even if you wanted to, if there was an emergency or something like that. It was one of the reasons why I helped shovel the neighbor across the street because I thought, you know, I don't want him out there hurting himself. Plus, what if there was an emergency and they had to get out and then they're stuck in their house? It'd be terrible. And that's why I'm so sore. Ugh. I can't believe they didn't approve the company masseuse to come in and work me over here. Man, I could really use something like that right now from all that plowing of the snow. And of course, this was the summer. I gave away my snowblower thinking, oh, I won't need that. It's not worth keeping in the garage and starting up every once in a while and checking and maintaining for, you know, even if I use it every other year. But, oh, I wouldn't have been complaining so much if I had it this past weekend. And to all the other neighbors that had snowblowers and didn't offer their services, come on now. Come on now. You can be nice. Maybe you don't, but... that's kind of cool. Sugar Fire put that on there. Also over in Illinois. So, you know, that's neat. I'm glad they decided to do something like this. You know, with the government shutdown, this is kind of a nice food story. Why do all my Tell Me Something Good stories revolve around food today? It says, out of dough? Not like D-O-H as in Homer Simpson. Dough. But Canada's air traffic controllers. I went to say Canadian, and then I switched to... So Canada air traffic controllers buy pizzas for unpaid U.S. colleagues. So the air traffic controllers, they bought hundreds for their counterparts over the past few days as it become an industry-wide show of support during the U.S. government's partial shutdown. Aw. Peter Duffy, head of the Canadian Air Traffic Control Association, said the initiative began when employees at Edmonton's control center took up pizza deliveries to Anchorage, Alaska. It's cold enough up there. Just think about how cold and miserable you may be. Now, Alaska, beautiful. I would love to visit Alaska at some point in my life. Wonderful. But still miserable when it's that cold and now you're not getting paid and it's cold. That's the worst. People that would, I guess, voluntarily go out in the cold because they prefer that sort of thing, I just don't understand it, but some people do. And then, and on top of that, you got to show up. Air traffic controllers are essential. And then, hey, your paycheck don't show up when it should. Ugh. Says, the next thing we knew, our members were buying pizzas left and right and center for the colleagues in the U.S. Some 10,000 air traffic controllers in the United States have been working without pay. Duffy estimates that, as of Sunday afternoon, some 300 pizzas had been delivered by American controllers, many of whom took to social media to express their gratitude. Aw. I love stories like that. Ron Singer, the national media manager of Nav Canada, which manages the country's civil war, civil air navigation, not civil war. Oh, well, that'd be crazy. A war with Canada. Wonder how that would turn out. Ugh. Said the Canadian and air traffic controller interact on a daily basis because they manage North American airspace. So there is a bond there. Aww. So don't forget your counterparts in Canada. When they are in need, maybe you send them a pizza. Maybe I'll send Drex a pizza over in Vancouver where he broadcasts and does the overnight show over on the radio stations out there. All right, do you have something good you'd like to share, something positive? I would love to hear it. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. I filled in on Friday for Mark Reardon. We were here with Amy Mark Scores and Carol Daniel, and we had a lot of fun. I do enjoy filling in with the two, and I told a story there. And unfortunately, it never came to be because of the winter weather on Friday, but my wife and I were going to have a couple of friends over. It would have been someone my wife knows, another mother, and she goes to the mom group things, and she's there with her kid, and my wife's there with our son, and they are friendly with each other. And my wife said, you know, let's have them over for dinner sometime. So my wife to me, she says, you're always complaining, like you don't have any friends here in St. Louis yet. Like you're not, because my wife just instantly bonded with all these other moms, so she's doing good. It was the exact reverse opposite of what happened in Fort Wayne. She had a hard time making friends. I didn't have a problem with it. But it's just like roles reverse. So she's doing good, and she's now trying to set me up on these little dad dates, like these little, dad dates. So it's the fathers of the other wives she knows. So she said, this will be good. You'll get to meet him, and everything will be good. Now, let me tell you about him. He was born in Mexico, was someone that grew up in Mexico, moved here to the United States, and don't you dare ask him about the wall. I said, that's all I want to ask him about. The first thing he walks through the door, I want to ask him about what he thinks about the wall. I want to know. He's got a unique perspective. She said, don't you dare. We're going to invite them. We're not going to make them uncomfortable. What if he doesn't want to talk about it? Aww. And then she drops this on me. She says, actually, it's so dangerous back where he grew up. He refuses to take his family back there. Oh, I got to ask about the wall. Let me ask about the wall. Well, it didn't even matter because the snow was so bad they couldn't come over for dinner on that Friday night. So by the time I get home from the radio station, there's dinner for four. My wife just putting the finishing touches on it because she cooked it anyway, and they canceled last second, and an entire blueberry pie. And that's what we were going to have for dinner. All that chicken for four. She made this special roasted chicken thing. Oh, was it good? And man, did I pig out. If we had so much chicken, it was like, I'm just going to eat the skins off the other ones. There's no way we're going to be able to finish all this. I'm just going to eat the skins. Mm. You know, I wonder if you can walk into a chicken place and say, can I just get like a bucket of skins? I love that crunchy. Of course they would say no, but man, is that good. KFC. Go to KFC where some of the KFCs have like buffets. Yeah, I'll just go pick up big pieces, eat just the skin and keep going back up. Oh, that sounds so disgusting, but so delicious at the same time. Does it sound as disgusting as a tub of mac and cheese? And let's talk about that. I got a couple of other good food stories for you. If you got something good you'd like to share, 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. It's Overnight America, KMOX. Welcome back to Overnight America. Here we are. Oh, Dave, sounds like you have a theory about that last story I told. What's going on?
It's just possible, Ryan. Hey, I love your show. You're doing a great job. I was just thinking to myself, you know, you were talking about it on the air Friday.
I was.
And if I was going to a popular radio host's house, I'd probably want to listen to him, you know, that day. And he might have heard you and said, you know, well, the hell with this. He's going to ask me about the wall.
But no, I wasn't going to. I was going to shy away from it. That was the conclusion. I was going to listen to my wife.
But he would have known you wanted to.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
How could I not? Well,
I know, but he might have. He probably heard you.
Well, the snow was so bad, they were telling you not to travel if you didn't have to. He said, no, it's not worth taking the kids out in something like this. It's the total legit excuse. I believe it.
Well, yeah, it is a legit excuse. I'll give them that. I was just wondering, giving you trouble. You have a good night.
You too, Dave. Thanks. I don't even know if they know who I am. I don't think anyone really knows who I am. When my wife goes out and she is talking to all of the different families and the different wives and groups, I don't think she name drops. I don't think she even tells anyone what my profession is. No one knows who I am. So it would be a total surprise if they show up to the house. Oh, what do you do? Well, you know, I work at KMOX. This is how the conversation normally goes. Let me play out the conversation 90% of the time. What do you do? Oh, I work in radio. Huh. What station would KMOX? Oh, really? So are you like a producer? Are you behind the scenes? What do you do? Oh, I host a show. Huh. I don't think I've heard you before. Oh, I do Overnight America. It's the late night talk show. Oh, yeah. Maybe I heard you. I normally don't stay up that late, but yeah, I think I've heard you before. I've heard your voice on the... Yeah, I've heard your voice before. 90% of the time, that's what happens. I don't meet any hardcore Overnight America fans that are also parents of young children. Parents of young children don't stay up late like this. I'm a rarity. They're always in bed. They're exhausted. You know, the kids wear them out, and then they lay down, and they crash. They go, oh, falling asleep the second they get. You give me a couch in a night, if it's dark outside and there's a couch, better believe I'm falling asleep. That's the way it goes. I'm a dad now. I got the dad schedule going on. No, I don't think I scared him away. I think eventually we'll have him over. It'll be nice. I would like to meet him, and I would like to ask him the question, but I won't because my wife told me not to, and it's not that she's my boss. It's just that I'm scared to upset her because she would not make my life pleasant, let me put it that way. So there's a couple of other food stories I wanted to get to. Would you ever consider buying a giant tub of mac and cheese? How big of a tub are we talking about? 27-pound bucket. This looks like a bucket you'd buy at AutoZone to collect oil. I mean, it's not just a drip pan, but it's like a giant bucket that you would put all your used oil in and eventually take it to deposit somewhere when you're done. So Costco's selling this 27-pound tub of mac and cheese, and you're wondering how long would it take for you to eat a 27-pound tub of mac and cheese. Well, once you open it, the shelf life is 20 years. You have 20 years, two decades. Unfortunately, it's not available in stores. You have to order it online, and it's out of stock at Costco.com. If you wanted to buy it, it costs $90. $90. Chef's Banquet mac and cheese. You must be cooking up a lot of mac and cheese at your house. But then I would put the counter argument there down. We have a producer in the afternoon. His name's Dave Klein. He's got twin boys and another one on the way. I can see him going through. Let's say he has three boys. No problem. 27 pounds of mac and cheese in a year. If that's all the kid eats, my kid eats mac and cheese. It's almost like the food pyramid. The base of it would be mac and cheese. I mean, he bases all other foods off of if it's going to be better than mac and cheese. And then he goes from there. So what do you want to eat? Mac and cheese. We got this running joke in the house. He thinks he's hilarious, my son. When at night he gets a little snack, trying to fill his belly up a little bit so he doesn't get hungry at night. So we give him a little bit of water and a little bit of a snack, whatever that is. Most nights it's something as simple as like little pretzel sticks or something like that. And he'll always say, I don't know, when we ask him what he wants. I don't know, you pick. And my wife started saying Cheerios, and he goes, ugh, not Cheerios, every time. And then it became a running joke whenever someone says, what do you want to eat? Cheerios, and that's the answer, the default answer in the house, Cheerios all the time. And he thinks he's hilarious every time he brings it up. That's how you know he's my kid. He brings up stupid dad jokes like that where he won't be able to give it up. Totally understand it. So Costco's selling a $90 tub of mac and cheese. You want in? You want in? They say that the preservatives used in the food is approved by regulatory agencies, whatever that means. And they say that it is safe to hold on to. Just keep it in like a cellar, for example. They say keep it in a dark, dry, cool environment. You don't need a wine cellar. You need a mac and cheese cellar. Yeah. 17 years of this. Here's another one. I don't understand this either. There's a lot of weird food trends. Why would someone want this? I don't know. I mean, some people do like this, some people don't. But even I have my limits. I wouldn't buy a giant tub of mac and cheese. My limits are, I would never order a Flamin' Hot Cheetos cake. It's called the spiciest dessert. So I'm looking at a picture of this cake. It looks like a traditional cake, except for the icing's made of Mountain Dew. And the flavoring of the cake is of Flamin' Hot Cheetos. It's a custom order. It doesn't say how much money the guy paid to have something like this. So they explain it comes from a customer that actually wanted this sort of thing. I don't exactly know all the ingredients. They kind of talk about this colored buttercream layering with two tiers of cakes. The buttered layering is of Mountain Dew, smoothed out, lots of sugar, life-size Cheetos they just put right on there. So basically, they make it into a gel, and then they put actual hot Cheetos dust on it. And then they make it red on the inside. It helps to make it because the Flamin' Hot Cheetos are red to begin with. And then they even sprinkle Cheetos on top of it. So on the outside of it, it says Mountain Dew. It's got a nice little logo. Tastes like Mountain Dew, but Cheetos on the inside. I love Cheetos. I love all kinds of Cheetos. I love the Cheeto Puffs. I love the crunchy Cheetos. I love it. Can't do the Flamin' Hot. I don't know why people enjoy that. It just doesn't taste right. Some people go crazy for that sort of thing. Okay, one more food story for you, and you're going to start seeing these on the shelves. I've never been to Disney before, but my wife and I will probably end up taking our son there at some point just because of how magical and cool the place is. It says, you've ever been to Disney World, chances are you've seen plenty of other park goers with a chocolate-covered Mickey-shaped ice cream bar in hand. Simple treat available all over the park. Now, Nestle is going to start selling it in the homes. So you can go to the grocery stores in the next couple of months. Keep an eye out for it. In honor of Mickey Mouse's recent 90th birthday, you can go get yourself a Mickey Mouse ice cream. It's just on a stick. It looks kind of like your regular vanilla ice cream that's dunked in chocolate, but it's shaped as Mickey Mouse's head. I don't know how realistic this will be, mostly because have you ever had one of these shaped type of ice creams from the ice cream man? And you know, the ice cream man comes around, they play the song, and it gets all the kids to run out, yay! And you go out there, it is insanely priced ice cream. I don't understand how they can justify those prices. You'll go out there and it'll be like $3 or $4 for a stupid stick of ice cream. And you're thinking, that is insane, insane. And then you get it and you open it up and it looks like it was melted on a radiator and then refrozen because it's nothing, no resemblance of the person or cartoon character that it says it is. Never. And it's always a let down because if there's a gumball or something in it, it always falls out and you don't get to eat it. Ugh, great. Always a let down. So you can't do the ice cream, man. Here's a little trick. This has been shared a lot, but I've known families for this to be true. They tell the kid, oh, you know, when the ice cream man is playing music, it means he's out of ice cream. Oh, just your luck. Oh, he's out of ice cream again. Oh, so sorry. That's sad. It's a great way to trick a kid. Ah, kids are so gullible. Ha! All right, I got a couple of things for you. And, you know, we got open lines, too. If there's something good you'd like to share, you got a good food story, we can always take that. Sundays are kind of slower. You know, we're connecting you coast to coast, so if there's something you want to bring up, you can. 314-436-7900 is the local number here in St. Louis, Missouri, where we're live. It's 127 in St. Louis, I guess 227 over on the East Coast. Or you can call 800-925-1120, a great way to connect to the show. BBC did a documentary about the workplace environment and sexual harassment. It's kind of fascinating, some of the scenarios they bring up in this documentary. Let's talk about that coming up on Overnight America, KMOX. Guys, you feel like the lingering threat of being accused of sexual harassment will always be lingering over you? This is kind of a fascinating story from the UK because the BBC is airing a documentary this week about workplace sexual harassment. And one of the major takeaways is that mothers are afraid that their kids will be wrongly accused of sexual harassment for doing things that at one point was just common. And the example they give after talking to lawyers is that if you hold the door open for a woman, you could be accused and fired for sexual harassment. And this may just sound like a sensational headline, but the lawyers actually have served this one kid papers of an official warning with the justification that if you hold the door open for a woman, which he did, it was considered workplace sexual harassment. So let's go over some of these examples, and I wanted to get your thoughts on this, mostly just how ridiculous it is. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Here's where the article starts. It says, "I don't understand the rules anymore," he confessed. "Everything I say seems to upset people. I told someone at work she had nice shoes on and was warned that it was inappropriate." So if you tell someone they have nice shoes, that seems like it's sexual harassment, perhaps? So this new BBC documentary is due to be screened this week, and it explores precisely this predicament between men and women in the workplace, and really how easy it is not only to be accused, but on top of that, how some of these things could be construed as actually being sexual harassment. Now, there are some pretty clear examples in this documentary of things that are sexual harassment. And then there's things that I would look at that and say, no, that is pretty silly. That is pretty stupid. It is definitely not sexual harassment. So let me tell you how they justify the statement of, I really like your shoes as sexual harassment. This is what they say the threshold is between appropriate and inappropriate. Oh, I wish Brad Young was up. There's no way he's still up, but this would have been a great topic for him. This is what the person said. It's simple. You have to ask yourself, would I say this to a rather terrifying cellmate in prison? If not, don't say it to a woman in a professional environment. So the threshold that this person brought up, trying for a legal standpoint, is would you say it to a terrifying cellmate? Well, in that case, I'm not talking to anyone at work. I'm done. How could you have any conversation with anyone? If that is the threshold, not even, this is insane to me. So every time I've held the door open for someone, that's considered by some as sexual harassment. Just how stupid and silly are we as a society when we start taking examples like that and trying to hold it up to the same standard of legit cases of sexual harassment? So there's a program where they talk to 20 young adults between 18 and 30, and they get together and they try to understand the rules of workplace behavior. I have a small clip from the BBC. Here, let me play it for you. Because some of these things are, I would listen to this and I would say, no, that's pretty clear-cut. Clear-cut sexual harassment. But then there's moments like this. Let's see it play a part.
Sexual harassment. Everyone is talking about it.
There are a lot of men who are out there that think that they can have any woman that they want, and it's just the truth.
If she's giving off you those signals and you like her and you know she likes you, it's like, yeah, it's fine, it's fair game, do you know what I mean?
You shouldn't have to expect that in a work environment. You shouldn't have to expect your co-worker or anybody making you feel uncomfortable like that.
To use these kind of pulling tactics when she can't get away from that, you could quite easily say, instead of just going home with her and giving her a kiss, you could have just said, would you like to go out a drink somewhere else now?
She has a choice to let someone into bed with her, but she can't stop somebody from trying.
Oh, so you heard different varying levels from that. Is just feeling uncomfortable enough to be a legit claim to be punished? As in, oh, I'm holding the door open for you. Oh, that made me feel uncomfortable. You need to be punished for that. And I keep using that one example because wait until you hear what the justification the company said was to try to give him a warning. And they actually did serve a warning to this guy. So let me give a couple examples they give in this BBC documentary. And if this is legit to you, if you actually think holding the door open, I would honestly love to talk to you. If you somehow believe some of these old-fashioned things of holding a door open for a woman is sexual harassment, please tell me why you believe that to be true, honestly. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. I know there's a lot more people like me that look at this and say, okay, this is insane. There's a lot more cases that are clear-cut, not sexual harassment. And examples like that's a good one. And then there's cases that are clear-cut sexual harassment, and it's pretty easy to tell the difference between the two. There's very few that are right in the middle or in the gray area. So part of the documentary, here they give an example. It says, in the documentary, we see a bar manager leaning over the shoulder of his new colleague, the man, a fellow member named Kat. So the guy's named Ryan, the girl's named Kat, and he shows her how to use the software on the computer. Is he too close? Okay. So let's say it's a computer program and they're on a computer and the person's leaning in. It doesn't say they're touching. He's just leaning in. Is he too close? This is what the documentary points out. This is how men see it. He is too close. He's leaning over her shoulder, but she doesn't seem to find a problem with it. How women see it. I was shocked she didn't have the courage to identify the problem and call it away. How the lawyers see it, definitely sexual harassment. So you're not even touching. You're trying to help a coworker with a computer program. You lean in and you just happen to be over her shoulder. That is considered sexual harassment in the workplace now, according to this documentary, when they talk to lawyers from the BBC. All right, let's continue. It says, paying a compliment, Kat looks surprised when Ryan compliments her on her perfume. How men see it. If someone compliments you on your smell, that's nice. How women see it. If one of my work colleagues had complimented my perfume, I wouldn't have taken offense. If she found it offensive, she would have definitely said something. How the lawyers weigh in on this. The perfume comment is sexual harassment. For example, would he say to a man, you've got nice perfume? Are you kidding me? That is considered sexual harassment to you? All right, let's continue. Let's continue down some of these examples. Here's one where it says, touching the back. During after-work drinks and dancing, Kat is sick. Ryan checks to see if she is okay, putting his hand on her shoulder and then sliding it down to her waist. She moves away but doesn't say anything. How men see it. I don't think it's very fair to say moving away was an explicit sign of saying no. How women see it. Ryan was sexually harassing Kat, trying to get her to drink a lot. Lawyer's verdict, definitely sexual harassment. Any form of physical contact at work other than shaking hands is sexual harassment. Does that sound right? Any form of contact other than shaking hands. That seems very dangerous. What if you what if it's an honest-to-goodness accident where you accidentally bump into someone? Let me tell you what my own personal experience is. I don't touch anyone. I don't like it, all right? I'll shake hands, and that's my extent of it, all right? But I look at certain instances. You know, if someone touches you on the shoulder, I don't automatically think I was sexually harassed. You know, if someone, does maybe a finger point, trying to get your attention, I don't look at that as sexual harassment. But these lawyers say anything other than a handshake is sexual harassment. Let me get to Joy real quick in Florissant. Hey, Joy, what's going on?
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Good, good. This sexual harassment thing's gone way out of hand. Mm-hmm.
No pun intended with hand, yeah.
Yeah. But it's like I don't consider anything, verbal sexual harassment. It's like, turn around and walk away. What's wrong with you?
Can I read this one example to you? Because you'll find this just so absurd. So the whole idea is
I might puke.
Holding a door open for a woman can get you in trouble for sexual harassment. So let me read you the example that this person said. You said, Richard said, I saw a person coming down the corridor, so I waited and said, after you, allowing her to go through first. Then I went through after her, and a man came in behind me. He said, astonishingly, the woman complained to the bank's human resources department that his actions amounted to sexism. Richard was called into an HR meeting, who was told that opening the door for a colleague had made her feel less. And this is what he said. I thought I'd lose my job. I got a letter confirming the warning, and it said that if I held the door open only for black men or only for white men, I would be racist. So it is sexist in sexual harassment to only open the door for women. That's what the HR wrote for him. Isn't that insane?
That is so sick, and that HR person ought to be fired.
This is over in the UK. So it's not long before we see trends like that over here. Now, luckily, we can watch it from afar, and it's all funny up until the point where it comes here.
Well, I think it's already here.
You think it's that bad here in the United States?
Some of the stuff I hear, yeah. I mean, you know, I open the door for men all the time, you know.
You hold the door open for men?
Yeah.
Joy, you sexually harassed so many men in your days, haven't you?
I know. And they're white, they're black. You know, it doesn't matter.
You know, the sad thing is, this shouldn't be a laughing matter, but when they bring up examples like this, how could you not look at that and say it? You're joking, right?
Well, because there's a lot of dumb people in the world, unfortunately. And they're making money off of it. That's the sad part.
Oh, the lawyers and... Yeah, I think the HR people are afraid of getting sued. They don't want to spend time with lawyers, and that's why they worry about this. But how could you be taken seriously if this is the type of claim you're bringing up all the time? Oh, someone held a door open for me. I need to run to HR and complain about that person.
Well, that person ought to be fired because they're stupid. I'm sorry, I just call it the way I think it.
Yeah,
you know?
No kidding. That person should be fired for being stupid. All right.
That's right. Well, and you can't cure stupid. So
I know. Another Jim White for you. Love it. Hey, thank you so much for calling in, Joy.
Okay, you have a good one, and let your little boy go out there and play in the snow.
Oh, he went out again today. He's loving it. You know what my wife does? She'll put plastic baggies, like little grocery bags, over his feet before he puts it into his boot to try to keep his socks dry. Isn't that cute?
Ah, that's a good idea. I might use that.
He loves it. Thank you. All right. Thanks, Joy. Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. So Joy's walking around with plastic bags in her shoes next week. How about that when the snow's still here? 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. I want to hear some of your stories. Have you ever seen anything that absurd in a workplace? Or do you look at that and say, no, I can see that. I can see that being sexual harassment. This is Overnight America, KMOX. Welcome back. All right. Get another perspective here. BBC is going to be running a documentary this week about workplace sexual harassment and some absurd, more questionable calls when it comes to it, including getting a letter from HR for holding a door open for someone, and it made that woman feel uncomfortable, so HR agreed that it was sexual harassment. Let me get to Tom in St. Louis. Hey, Tom, what's going on?
Hey, Ryan. Thanks for taking my call. How are you tonight?
Good to hear from you.
I've been hearing all these stories about the sexual harassment in the workplace. Well, I got a story for you. Mm-hmm. Years ago, I worked at a restaurant here in St. Louis. I don't want to mention it or nothing, but they switched, managers come and go, and they got a new manager in her name, Cindy, and she was very attractive. I got to say, you know, she was a knockout. But, you know, I was there working my job, not even, you know, happily married guy. So we're in the kitchen, and she dropped a big thing of condiments, like ketchup packs and that. Mm-hmm. And when she bent over to pick him up, I gave her a nice little squeeze on her hind end.
Tom, you did not. Did you really do that?
Yes, I did. And I thought it was just a friendly way of saying hello. And the next thing you know, I got canned.
Well, yeah, you can't do that, Tom. What, did you think that would have been okay?
Well, I thought that she might think that it was okay at the time, but...
Did you have a relationship, like a friendship with her at the time, where that would have been something where you would have done that to each other?
No, it was her first day on the job. I thought, hey, give her a big squeeze.
Okay. What year was this?
About 1995.
Okay. Have you ever done that to other people, or was that the first time?
No, sometimes I get a squeeze when I go to a concert or a big event when it's crowded. I usually try to pin it on the guy behind me, so when the lady looks, he gets slapped.
Tom, you go around. You should know if someone else is getting slapped, you shouldn't be doing it.
Hey, I learned that off Benny Hill many years ago.
Oh, Benny Hill.
You have a nice evening, sir. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling in. Bye. All right. So Tom may not have anticipated my reaction to something like that. You can't squeeze. I don't know if he meant that seriously or not, as in he didn't think it was inappropriate. Yeah, squeeze has gone a little bit far. It's okay. I've been in some workplaces where you just have a deep friendship with the people you're with, And something like that is a little more acceptable because you're friends and it's almost like you that's how you and your friends joke around, okay? There's a big difference between that and it was her first day on the job. Oh, man, you can't do that, Tom. This is one of those things where you know there's an okay and there's a not okay, and that's definitely one that crossed the not okay. Now, I don't know how good of an employee you were, if it was warranting we could, you know, discipline this person and as opposed to firing, but let's see. So here's the conclusion that they come up with on the BBC here. There was one other example they gave. Let me see. Oh, okay. Here's one where it seems like it would be pretty easy to have some sort of claim. Now, it happened outside of work for sure. So let's say the two of them meet for a drink at a bar. They share a taxi. At the one person's stop, Cat stop, Ryan gets out and sends the driver away. He tries to kiss Cat and says, "I thought I was getting the signals." She makes her excuses and leaves. So miscommunication after drinking. They share a taxi home, and he thought he was getting the signal to, okay, let's go do this. Now, maybe in today's world, you have to have some sort of written disclosure and proof ahead of time. But, okay, so you can kind of see how the scenario goes. You're outside of work hours. You're partying outside of work hours. You're drinking with this person outside of work hours. You decide to get a taxi together with someone else outside of work hours. And then you lean in for a kiss, and she says no, and that's the end of the night, okay? That was the end. So here's how BBC points it out. How men see it. She shouldn't be offended. He tried to make a move, and she's declined, and that's it. How women see it. The move towards Cat was sexual harassment. I don't see how it's not. Lawyer's verdict, it's sexual harassment. Providing how we can establish this was linked to his work, they could have been acting, of course, out of some sort of threat that her employment was, you know, if they're out there partying, she might think she's has to do it or her job may be in jeopardy. So people are going to look at this. And I know these are just dramas. Like the BBC is, they're actors that are doing this and they get the reaction of the people between the ages of 20 and 40 or whatever it is, or 20 and 30. And they all give their opinion on what is, what isn't sexual harassment. They all kind of get their own different points of view out there. And then the lawyers weigh in. But what they pointed out, and some people have pointed out too, is that what sort of world do we want to live in where you could get fired to compliment someone's new dress or suit or tie or shoes? Or the opposite is true, where we let some of these allegations go away because people are afraid to. Does it have to be one or the other? Can it just be sometimes you just know and sometimes it's just absolutely silly? You know, coming up in the next hour, there's a couple of things I wanted to get to. And I saw a CBS report. This is insane. I didn't realize this was law here in the United States, but let's say someone comes here and they want to marry a child bride. And you think, well, at least here in the United States, something like that wouldn't happen, right? There's no way we would allow that. Well, apparently our laws are written in such a way where it does allow that. And it's really fishy, and they're still trying to change that sort of thing. So we're going to talk about that. Sarah Edgar's going to join us in the next hour, too, the Missouri Sierra Club. I had a conversation with her about how St. Louis wants to be fully on renewable energy in the next, like, 15 years. It's a pretty big goal. So I wanted to ask her how she plans on doing that, how they see it happening. How in the world is it even financially able to happen? Like, how do you do that when we have no money for anything around here? So how do you plan on making that happen? So we're going to have a conversation with her coming up. We'll keep the phone lines open for you. Border to border connecting you. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120 on Overnight America KMOX.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.